to the end of the book of Revelation. I've been in it since January of last year. That's how long we've been in the book of Revelation on Wednesday nights. We've covered just about every verse. I know we've covered every chapter, every verse that's in that book down to right now. So, man, I tell you, I don't know about you, but it's been a blessing, but it's also been a burden. It's put a heavy burden on my heart for folks that are lost, that needs Jesus. It's put a heavy burden on my heart that says they're saved and they live like they're lost. But it's a heavy burden. And tonight, one of the greatest, the most tragic word that you're going to ever read in the Bible is probably in verse number 8 when it says, but. In verse number 8 it says, but. After he sees the new heaven and he sees the new earth, John says he gives a list of what won't be there. And then he says this, he said, but these will not be there either. So tonight, I want to look at the new heaven and the new earth in Revelation 21. In verse number 1, I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's word tonight. Revelation 21, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. And he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, the unbelieving, and the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Lord, we love you and we thank you for this night. We thank you for the word that is laid in our lap tonight. We thank you that we can read it. And every time we sit down with this book, we're sitting down with Jesus himself. Lord, tonight I thank you that we can read it and we can understand what you'd have us to understand. I thank you tonight that you just move in a mighty way inside this place every time we come. Lord, I pray for the ones that are sick, that is needing a touch tonight, the ones that have unspoken requests tonight. Lord, I pray you touch them real good. Lord, I pray tonight for Miss Bankhead. Lord, I lift her up to you, Father. I pray tonight as she's in Jackson that you touch her, Father. Lord, I pray that you put your healing hand on her. Lord, I pray tonight for each and every one that's lifted up prayer requests, for the little baby that has got to take so many bottles and so many times at a length of time. Lord, I pray tonight that you would touch. Lord, I pray tonight that you would just, all the ones that's got to travel this week, the funerals and things that are going on, Lord, I pray you'd touch them and that you'd help them real good this week. Father, I thank you for what you've done in my life this week. I thank you for the doors that you've opened. I thank you for the doors that you shut. Lord, I thank you for the blood of Jesus. I thank you for tonight, Father, that we can come out and we can study a portion of your word. Lord, I pray tonight you be with the storms that's going to come through tomorrow. Lord, I pray you keep everybody safe. Keep them out of harm's way. Lord, we have an election coming up in about 50-something days. Lord, I pray you'd put the right person in the right place. I pray you'd let us make the right decision and vote the right way and do the right things, Father. I pray we'd vote according to the word of God, not by our thoughts or our feelings or our opinions or who we like. But, Father, I pray that you would just anoint us tonight, that we would just look at the candidates and, Father, we'd see who lines up with the Bible, and that's the way we'd go tonight, Father. Lord God, we've had one roadmap tonight. We have one book that is our instructor tonight. We have one leader tonight, and that is you tonight, Father. You are our God. We are your people, and Lord, we stand on the word of God tonight. Lord, I pray tonight that you have your will and way in this place. Lord, I thank you for the sweet Holy Ghost, and Lord, I pray he'd kiss everybody tonight in a mighty way. In Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated tonight. A new heaven and a new earth. As we come tonight in verse number 1, we see that John said that he saw a new heaven and a new earth. I'm not talking about a remade one. I'm not talking about he redone this heaven and this earth. I'm talking about a new heaven and a new earth. I'm talking about brand spanking new. He's seen it come down. I don't know about you tonight, but I like new things. Amen. I'll take some hand-me-downs. It don't matter to get a few hand-me-downs. I like some hand-me-downs, but boy, ain't nothing like getting something brand new. Can I get a witness? Ain't nothing like getting a brand new pair of shoes and not having to buy them from the thrift store, even though there's nothing wrong if you got to get them from the thrift store. But sometimes when you slide your feet in them shoes, it just feels right. Amen. So tonight, I love new things. But the Word of God says in Revelation 21:5, "Behold, I make all things new." The Bible also says there will be some things that will be wiped away forever. In this new heaven and in this new earth, there are some things that's going to be wiped away forever, never more to see, never more to experience for the child of God tonight. They'll be wiped away forever. But also there'll be some folk that will not enter this new heaven and this new earth. And I want you to know tonight, the new heaven and the new earth. So let's look at what will be wiped away and who will not enter the new heaven and the new earth tonight. Tonight, if we look tonight in the Bible, we see what will be wiped away. And tonight, if you look in verse number 1, I did not pin this down on the paper, but it's in the Bible. And he says, there'll be no more sea. In the Old Testament, that sea was division. That sea, they believed that they were the things that would come out of there that would destroy them. There'd be plagues. There'd be all kind of things coming. There'll be no more sea. There won't be no sea in this land. So, but tonight I want to go to some things that you and I experience in the life that we live that we won't have to experience in the glory world. Amen. That we won't have to experience over there. And tonight, number one, I want you to look at this. In verse number 4, that what will be wiped away forever and will not be in heaven, it will not be there. Number one tonight, it says this, "And God shall wipe away all their tears, and there shall be no more death." No more death. There will be no death in heaven. There will be no more death in heaven. You will never have to worry about death again. You'll never have to worry about a loved one dying again. When we get to this new heaven and this new earth, there will be no more death. It'll be over with. And I don't know about you, but that puts a shout in me tonight to know that I won't have to lay my loved ones down anymore. Hey, tonight, if it's been a long time since you've laid somebody to rest, you get a little custom of having a little ease there. But when it's just bam, 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 and you start laying people to rest, man, that's a heaviness that's on your heart tonight. But tonight he said that death will be wiped away. 1 Corinthians 15:26, the Bible says, "The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." Do you know tonight that death is an enemy against us tonight? It takes things away from us. It takes people away from us. It takes the ones you love away from you for a period of time. If they're saved and you're saved, there'll be a day that you'll be reunited again. But listen to me tonight, if that person's lost and you're saved, you'll never see them again. They'll be separated for eternity tonight. The Bible says death will be wiped away. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. But number two tonight, let me give you this. Not only will death be wiped away, but sorrow will be wiped away as well. He says here in verse number 4, "There shall be no more death, neither shall there be any more sorrow." Even sorrow is going to be wiped away. The grieve or the mourning, that grieving or that mourning process will be gone because death is gone. And I wrote there, hallelujah, praise God, that death is gone. There'll be no more mourning. There'll be no more sadness. There'll be no more of them things in heaven tonight. And I know it's hard to understand that as we're adults in this room and we see death all the time. Just a couple weeks ago, last week, a matter of fact, 2 weeks ago, we had 5 deaths that were connected to this body. And tonight, do you know what that does to people, man? It just puts that burden there. It puts that grief and it puts that mourning on their life. But it'll be gone because death is gone. Can I say to you tonight, death will be wiped away, sorrow will be wiped away, and the third thing that John said here that God's going to wipe away and do away with, there'll be no more crying when you get to heaven. Can you imagine that tonight? There'll be no more crying. I know people that can turn on tears like that, don't you? Man, I'm telling you what, they don't even have to do nothing to cry. They know how to cry. They know how to, they walk around crying. Can I get an amen? And tonight, but you know what? Most people, when they cry, they're crying because of something that has hurt them or they've let something down. So tonight, when he says he's going to wipe them tears away, that not only means because of death that might have happened or death that might take place, but it also may mean this, that what they should have done and they didn't do before they enter in that new heaven and that new earth, where they could have done more for the Lord and they didn't do, where they could have stepped up And they didn't do. So tonight I see death will be wiped away. Sorrow will be wiped away. Crying will be wiped away. But I want to give you this. In Psalm 30 and verse number 5, the Bible says, "For his anger endureth but a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." So when we enter that glory world, I want you to know tonight the tears will be wiped away. There'll be no more tears. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more death. And the fourth thing that he says here is there'll be no more pain. Can you imagine that tonight? You'll go to a place where there'll be no more pain. There'll be no pain. There'll be no cancer there. There'll be no illnesses. There'll be no sickness there. It'll all be wiped away in this new heaven and this new earth. You say, "Preacher, tonight, does that make a difference?" You bet it does. Amen. Hey, tonight, I don't know about you, but I don't worship God like I ought to when I'm in pain. Now, that religious person that's higher than all of us, most of us, listen to me now, they worship no matter what. But tonight, listen to me, if I'm in pain and I'm in turmoil and my head's in the toilet and I can't hardly hold my head up, the last thing I'm doing is worshiping and praising God. And God knows that tonight. And that's why he knows in heaven there's going to be no pain there, because we're going to worship him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, even if there was a calendar. And there's not going to be a calendar, because when we just begun, there's going to be many, many more days. Amen? So tonight I want you to get this. The pain will be wiped away. You say, "Preacher, what kind of pain is going to be wiped away?" Look what he says here. He said there'll be no more pain, for the former things are passed away. So what kind of pain is going to be gone? Number one is physical pain. There'll be no physical pain in heaven. Can you imagine that? No physical pain in heaven. None. No cancer. No toothache. No headache. No backache. No knee problems. No ankle problems, no back problems, nothing. There'll be nothing, mama. There'll be no pain there. You'll have no pain, zero pain. When they ask you, you can go to the doctor, mama, and they say, "What's your pain tolerance from 0 to 10? Mama's always 8 or 9, always. And she says, "Well, I'm probably about a number 8. I might be a 7. When you get up there, they're not going to ask you what your pain tolerance is. They're not going to ask you what kind of pain you're in. It's going to be zero, amen, because there is no pain. Their physical pain will not be there. Let me give you this. There'll be no emotional pain there either. I don't know about you tonight, but emotional, your being, when it's in pain, you can be physically fit and feel good, and the emotional on the inside can even make you sick. You know there's people that has no sickness really. It's just in their mind. You know that, don't you? They ain't really got a problem. There ain't nothing wrong with them. They're hurting all over, and they ain't hurting nowhere. It's in their mind. It's in their mind. Why? Because the stress and the pressures of this world and the anxiety of this world and the things emotional going on in this world is destroying them. Destroying them from the inside. Some has physical pain. Some deals with emotional pain. But can I say to you this? There'll be no physical pain. There'll be no emotional pain. And there'll be no ongoing pain in heaven. Look on your paper here. I want to give you this in Jeremiah 15 and verse number 18. Here's what Jeremiah says. He said, "Why is my pain perpetual?" Or "Why is my pain ongoing?" He said, "Why am I in this pain? Why am I ongoing in this pain? Why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable?" He says, "What I got going on? Why is it incurable? Why can't I get over this? Which refuses to be healed, which thou be altogether unto me as a liar and as waters that fail." He said, "I've got something going on. I've got a physical pain. I got an emotional pain. I got a pain going on, and I can't get rid of it." Why? Because you know what? We're made to die. When you was born, at the moment you was born, you started to die. Everybody in this room, at the moment you were born, you started to die. And you say, "Preacher, what does it take?" Pain comes with death. And that pain starts at the day you was born, the day you was conceived. Let me back up. The day you was conceived until the day. Amen. Glory to God. Well, that's just a little nugget right there. From the time you was conceived until the time you draw your last breath, that life is going to be full of sorrow. It's going to be full of pain. It's going to be like an emotional roller coaster, up one minute, down the next. I've never seen anybody that's always on the top, have you? They're on an emotional roller coaster. Why? Why do we have pain? Why do we have trouble? Why? Because we have not made it yet. We're still living here. We're still living in this world. And that's what comes in the world that we live in, pains. There's pains and troubles and sorrows and all kind of things that bother us. That's why there's going to come a day that won't be there no more. For that person that burns in the lake of fire, they'll have that pain, that trouble. They'll have that all of their life. They won't be able to get away from it. And tonight, I just told you just a glimpse of what won't be in heaven. You can name anything bad and it won't be in heaven. You can name anything you think that's probably pretty good and it probably won't be there neither. Because good stuff ain't going to be there. It's going to be perfect. Amen. He's creating that for you and he's creating that for me. But tonight, in verse number 8, when I seen this, I seen what won't be in heaven. What won't be. These things will not be there. I don't know about you, but I'm proud of that. Man, I'm proud of that. I am so proud of that. I told Danny Ott's one time, and I said, you know, there won't be no undertakers in heaven. And he said, wait a minute, back up. He said, you better say there won't be no need for undertakers in heaven. He says, I'm telling you one that's going to be there. I'm going to be there. They just won't be no need. So now I try to back up, and then he come back with me. He said, you know, there won't be no preachers in heaven. And I said, you better say there ain't going to be no need for preachers in heaven. Y'all get what I'm saying? But here, I want to get that to give you here. He said, these things won't be there. As a child, he said in verse number 7, whoever wants to drink, they can drink freely of that living water. They can drink freely. All you want. But John said, I looked up, I seen the new heaven, I seen the new earth. And you think everything's great and everything's wonderful. But then he says, but in verse number 8, but the fearful. And he starts listing you the folk that will not be there. I've put these folk down on paper for you, and I want to go through them with you before we dismiss tonight. I want you to see this tonight. And you say, preacher, when you read them, you say, well, who then is going to make it? Those that are born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Listen, that no longer lives that lifestyle. You can't be a child of God, born again, washed in the blood, and live that lifestyle. You born again, washed in the blood of Jesus, and live that lifestyle, you will partake of the second death. You will partake of the lake of fire. Listen to me tonight. I'm fixing to lay them out to you in what they are tonight. And I believe in eternal security as much as the next person in here. But I believe this, and I will stand on this to the day I die. And this is what I believe that the Bible teaches. Not an opinion, but what the Bible teaches. Man or woman, no matter who they are, when they get born again, they don't live in that same lifestyle. They can't do it. Can't do it, Brother Brad. There's a change. They can't do it. They can't do it. You can't be born again by Jesus Christ in his blood, seen his glory, seen his mercy, seen his grace, been washed in that blood and still live the same way. You cannot do it. And people all the time says, well, preacher, I do. Well, tell me. I said, I can't because I'll be judging you. If I tell, all I can tell you, and I'm not here to judge nobody in this room. And one thing I've heard people say, come to Union Chapel and you won't be judged. And here's what I say, don't tell them that. Because the Bible says that judgment must first start at the house of God. And it ain't that we judge, it's that book judges. Listen to me, I've never had nobody judge me like that book judge me. When I get reading that book, it tells me who I am, how sorry I am, how filthy I am, and what I need, and I need a Savior. That's what it tells me. And it tells me that when he comes into my life, he changes me, he saves me, and he makes me new. And that's my life tonight. That's my testimony tonight. That I've been saved by the blood of Jesus, and everything's changed. You mean your bank account's full? Why, Lord, no, that ain't what changed. You mean you look good now? Why, Lord, no, that ain't what changed. That stuff didn't change. I'm talking about in here that you can't see. I'm talking about down in here where you can't see. I'm talking about deep down in there. Well, man, nobody's got to tell me when I messed up. Listen to me. Oh, glory to God. Man, I don't need no parole officer on me, amen? I don't need that. I don't need that. I got one. It's the Holy Ghost. I don't need no man telling me when I messed up. Holy Ghost does his job, and I promise you he'll do it right. Let me show you this. As we move, oh, glory to God, how he moves on. Who will not enter? Look in verse number 8 tonight. But, here, man, if you ever want to know a word, he said, but the fearful. There he says, there's 8 people that will not enter here. And you are one of these 8. I am one of these 8. We are. Only the blood of Jesus. And we come out of that lifestyle. You've been in this lifestyle. He would have not listed 8 people if we didn't list up with one of them. He wouldn't have done it because why? He would have discriminated. He would have picked and choose. No, but he put everybody in there. He put everybody in this, and he said, these will not partake. Whew. But the fearful, who's the fearful? Here's the fearful. Those who were timid or would not identify themselves with Christ Jesus. The Holy Ghost knocked at their heart. The Holy Ghost knocked, wanted them to be saved. They were timid. They didn't want to, I don't want to be with that church crowd. I don't want nothing to do with them hypocrites. I don't want, have you ever heard that? Man, ain't nobody but a bunch of hypocrites go to church. Quitters go to church. People that want to quit living that lifestyle go to church. You've heard that. I've heard that all the time. Only quitters go to rehab. Praise God. Amen. So tonight, it's those, the fearful, is those that are too scared and will not accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. They were timid or would not identify themselves with Christ Jesus. He said, number two, not only those that were fearful and just wouldn't do it, but the unbelieving. And you say, what's the difference? There's a total difference. Then you know Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. You know you need to call on Him, but you're too scared to do it, and you won't do it. Okay? But then the unbelieving, that's the crowd that says, hey, I don't believe it at all. The other night at Broken Lights, the guy said, I don't believe Jesus Christ. I don't believe He died and rose again. And I believe there's a God, but I don't believe Jesus died and rose again. Will you please pray that my family gets put back together and I get things right? And I said, no, sir. I'm going to pray that God will give you the grace enough and enough faith in your life, just a little bit. It don't take much faith. And He's gave every man a measure of faith. The Bible says every man has it. That you'll call on His name and be saved. He can put your family back together. He can put everything, your finances back together. But if you're not born again, you're not put back together. See, when He unites that spirit back is when you put back together. He said the fearful, the unbelieving, those who would not believe and receive Jesus Christ as Savior. The unbelieving, they would just don't believe it. The abominable, those who are morally and spiritually filthy. They're morally and spiritually filthy. You know what I'm talking about. They're just morally, they could care less about Jesus Christ. They could care less about the blood. They could care less about the church. They're just living in a way that's pleasing to themselves and not to God. The fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable. And on your paper, I just wrote this down. The fourth one that he gave there is murderers. That don't need a definition. Those who have killed. Those who have slew has killed. He said, preacher, what are you? Those who have killed, those who have committed murder. He said, they will not enter except the blood be applied. Every one of these can be forgiven. Every one of these can be forgiven by the blood of Jesus. Number five, whoremongers. Your Bible says it in verse number 8, and that's those who are involved in adultery. Can I say to you tonight, listen to me, married couples. There's not a man or a woman in this room tonight, and I don't see a lot of little kids. There's not a man or a woman in this room tonight ought to be committing adultery. Another man should not be sleeping with another woman's wife. If you're saved, you ought not be in another bed. If you're saved, born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, you have one mate. If you're married, that's your mate, you stay with that mate. You or I, either one, has no business committing adultery. That proves that we are not children of God. Those who are involved in adultery, those who are involved in premarital sex, needs to stop it and get out of it. If you're a child of God and you're doing them things, that proves that you're not a child of God. Homosexuality is another one of the whoremongers there. You will not enter the kingdom of heaven being a homosexual. You must be forgiven, washed in the blood of Jesus, and change that lifestyle. This is Bible now. Not only that, but rape. These individuals that are raping these women, doing these things, unless they're born again, washed in the blood of Jesus, they will in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. That's your Bible. Those who are involved in adultery, premarital sex, homosexuality, or rape. The sixth one that will not enter is sorcerers. Those who are involved in drugs or spell potions. Putting a spell on folks. You said, I don't believe in that. It's real. It's real. Watch what you call up. Watch who you call up. And watch where you're at when they're calling them up. Brother Eric Caruth, you can testify to it. I've been to Broken Lives, and you have too. Well, a demonic spirit would enter in. David Whitaker, stand about 6'7", 6'8", probably. Maybe 6'6". I may be off an inch or two. A guy at Broken Lives one night was standing there, sweat dripping off his arms. I'm talking about you could took water and poured it over him. And I mean, just pouring, like he was just pouring out. Brother David went up, going to pray with him, put his arm around him. This guy ain't but about 5'6", 5'7". At that moment, he jumps up on his neck and gets him in the headlock. I thought he was going to kill him. Down in the altar, we finally got that guy down in the altar. Down in the altar, we went and we got prayed on him, Brother Eric. He was there at night. No, Brother Tony was there at night. Somebody was there with me. And every time we'd say the name of Jesus, that demonic spirit that was in him, it would raise up and his back would go into a U. I'm talking about into a U, 5'7", 5'8", maybe. There were 6 or 7 men on top of him. He's about bucking every one of us off. And every time we'd speak the name of Jesus, every time we'd speak scripture over him, he'd keep raring up. And eventually, about 45 minutes later, after everybody had been dismissed out, that man laid limp on the altar. They put him in suicidal watch care for 2 weeks. He stayed in a room listening to nothing but the Bible be played for 2 whole weeks. They hit play on it and just let it play all the way through. He said, "Preacher, what was that was in him?" That was a demonic spirit. He had something on him that did not need to be on him. Be careful where you go. Those who are involved in drugs or spell potions, drugs play a big role in the worship of Satan. Drugs play a big role. Idolaters is number 7. That's those who worship idols or anything that takes God's place in our life that becomes an idol. Anything that gets put in the place of God and becomes an idol. And then the last one he says, and all liars. And I wrote this down. On all liars, everyone has told a lie. The Bible said, for all sin and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says, there's none righteous, no, not one. I would dare to say that there's somebody, I wouldn't even say, we've all told a lie. White lie, black lie, green lie, whatever color lie you want to put it, we've all told a lie. We've all born sinners in need of a Savior. See, when he listed the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, those who have committed murder, you say, boy, that's bad. And when you get on the whoremongers and you get down in there, and then you get on to the sorcerers, man, that's bad. But he says, all these and all liars. He says, sin, man, it's got a payment, it's got to be paid. And only be paid by the blood of Jesus Christ. I wrote this at the bottom here. Unless a person is born again, unless a person is born again, they will spend eternity in the lake of fire, which is the second death. You say, preacher, can any of these be born again? Yes. If they'll call on the name of the Lord, ask the Lord to save them, to forgive them, come in their heart and cleanse them. They can be saved. You say, well, what is that? We're almost down to Revelation 22. We're getting so close. And they're fixing to say in Revelation 22, Lord, come quickly. Why? Because these that I've listed are having a heyday. And the saved is wanting out from amongst them. The saved is wanting to go to that land that flows and get out of the land where it's nothing but fighting. Tonight, I want to ask you this question before we dismiss. Where would you be at tonight? Where would you be at tonight if it all ended tonight? Could you say, preacher, I tell you right where I'd be. Preacher, I tell you right where I'd be. Or you say, preacher, I just don't know. I'm not here to second guess nobody on nothing. I just want you tonight to be sure. I just want you tonight to be sure. We label sin different way. You take somebody that drinks and they got a problem. They're an alcoholic. Really, they're a drunkard. The Bible calls them. You take a man that's got an addiction problem. We say, well, he's just an addict. No. He's got sin eat up in his life. You take a man that's run around on his wife, and that's what they say, he just run around. No, the Bible calls him an adulterous man or an adulterous woman. And tonight, that should never be mentioned. Never be mentioned about a man of God or a woman of God. That should never be mentioned. There's nothing tears down a testimony more than that being mentioned about somebody. You say, "Preacher, what should I do tonight?" Keep yourself unspotted from this world. Keep yourself unspotted from this world. Be ready when he calls you home. Be ready. I told you what won't make it in. These things will not go in. And I told you who won't go in. Tonight, if you can line up on any of that, who will not go in, you're not going in. I believe we have watered and weakened Christianity to the place where everybody thinks they're going in. Because here's the thing. I look at Sister Riley and I say, or Sister Riley looks at Brother BJ and says, "Well, I ain't bad as Brother BJ, but I'm not your measuring stick. I'm not the one you measure yourself by. Who do I measure myself by, preacher? I looked at the preacher. I'm not doing as bad as he is, or I ain't doing bad as my deacon." And so that ain't your measuring stick. That's your measuring stick. What that says changes everything. Everything. You've always heard that Peter going to be standing at the gate welcoming people in. Peter ain't going to be at no gate. Peter ain't going to be at no gate, son. Don't believe that lie. Peter ain't going to be at no gate. Peter ain't going to be at no gate. So you've been taught stuff all of our life. We've been taught cleanliness is next to godliness. That ain't in the Bible. Be clean as you want to and be filthy on the inside. I know people clean on it, won't get their hands dirty. You ask my wife. I know some folks like that, don't I? I don't like to get my hands dirty. But I sure am glad my inside's clean by the blood of Jesus. Tonight, take that message. Let that thing soak on you tonight. Think about what won't enter. And when you see them things, it's going to red flag you. Say, "Who'd I witness to, preacher?" There you go. That's who you witness to. What you just heard tonight. You ain't judging. You just witnessing. Do not leave tonight. We just get the right hand of Christian fellowship, okay? Father, we love you and we thank you for this night. Lord, I thank you for your study. I thank you for your word. I thank you that what we studied, what we've read tonight is the Bible. Lord, I thank you tonight that we can stand on that book and we don't have to back up. We don't have to slide to the side, but we can stand on your word. Bless everyone in this room tonight. Have your will and way. And we ask it in Jesus' most holy, precious name. All of God's people said. Amen. Brother Brian.